Shall I just go?
You should just go.
Okay. Bonjour tout le monde. I'm going to talk about speak to a paper actually that myself and Mustafa Hanawi, who's a comrade, colleague and friend who's an organiser at the Immigrant Worker Centre in Côte d'Azur, Montreal, wrote, which was published in Global Labour Journal in January. And it is essentially based out of some of the activist research that myself and others have been involved with for some years, that included the Fight Back Workplace Justice for Immigrants book that came out in 2009, and also has sort of that trajectory of the book that Adrian and I are doing together, which should be out in full, The Unfree Labour Struggles of Migrant and Immigrant Workers in Canada. That sort of project of really, as Adrian said, trying to document, bring forth some of the knowledge and struggles and realities of migrant and immigrant workers in Canada today. And it's great to be on this panel. Thanks to Mark and to Steph. It's great to be here in Toronto for this. So what I want to talk about is specifically building on from what Adrian and Faye have just presented, some of the work and the dilemmas and organising that's been going on in Montreal in relation to the temp agencies, the temporary labour agencies. I want to start off just by talking a quotation from David Van Arsdale in an article that came out in Working USA last year, who suggests that in the States, outsourcing labour by the US temp agency industry produces poverty for millions and stagnating wages for all. He contends that, quote, temporary help is becoming the great stabiliser of modern capitalism. It will consistently grow as the economy expands over time, encountering occasional downturns as recessions are encountered. Each recession will lead to greater dependency on staffing as companies transition to hiring temporary workers to sustain economic downturns and labour expenses. And one of the things that Mustafa and I have done in this article and some other work we've done together has also been to contribute to thinking through the questions about notions about, and these are very much, I think, things that people like Leah Vosko have done some really important work upon, thinking about these notions of kind of the margins of the labour market and the sort of the notion of a standard employment relationship actually not speaking very well to the nature of the labour today, of employment relationships today. And so when we think about temporary labour agencies from transnational corporations like ADECO, Randstad, Manpower, through to, you know, the person with the cell phone in the neighbourhood who's kind of hooking people up with essentially day labour work, whether it's in the fields, whether it's in distribution warehouses or wherever, that you have a growth of that kind of triangular relationship where it's a little bit unclear who's the boss. If you are contracted through an agent, is your employer as a worker the agent, or is it the company that's using the labour brokerage? And this is an issue not only in Canada but around the world, has become both, I think, of interest to labour scholars and others in the context of the kinds of processes that Adrian addressed to around the sort of shifting natures of capitalism, neoliberalism, labour deregulation, flexibilisation, all of those kind of things, economic restructuring, and where, in fact, the norm is increasingly, for many people in many countries, becoming labour precarity. And people like Grace Edward, who's here with us today, Galabuzzi, who's done some excellent work looking at particularly labour precarity in Canada, and racialisation of how that plays into labour precarity and poverty here. As elsewhere, agency work is growing very rapidly in Quebec. Just to throw out a few statistics, Canada-wide, between 1993 to 2008, and this is drawing on Statistics Canada statistics, and I would put a grain of salt here, because one of the major issues is that there's very little regulation for, in fact, one could say that you can pretty much, if you wanted to set up a labour brokerage, a labour agency, it's not a big deal. You could kind of do it, and you're not going to have a whole lot of licensing kind of requirements and so on. And so between 93 and 2008, the number of registered agencies in Canada increased by 325%, from 1,191 agencies to 5,077 agencies, but that doesn't include a lot of unregistered agencies. By 2008, there were over 1,200 agencies that were known agencies operating in Quebec in virtually all sectors. And I think, speaking to what you were talking about, Faye, too, about the expansion of temporary foreign worker programs, that these agencies operate in so many different sectors, it's very hard to keep track of them. And mapping the terrain and mapping the conditions and the levels of exploitation and the forms of exploitation that are going on with both migrant workers, with people who are non-status, and with landed workers, particularly who are racialised, that come to the Immigrant Worker Centre, is a really difficult task. But we're talking about office work, cleaning, distribution warehouses for companies like Dollarama, construction, healthcare, there's agriculture, and Statistics Canada put out a report some years ago. This was back, I guess it's about a 9-year-old report, that found the earnings gap between permanent and contract workers was about 13%, while between a permanent and casual worker the gap was about 34%. So that's sort of a bit of general stuff, I guess, about some of the landscape. What we've been doing in some of the work that we've been looking at has really been trying to build on and talk about the role as well of knowledge coming out of workers themselves to build strategies and campaigns and resistance. And in Montreal, we would say that, you've got... it's actually very difficult to come up... In our paper, we try to come up with a nice little grid to talk about, because some reviewers wanted a table, to talk about different categories of immigration status and sort of the kinds of exploitation related to the larger registered agencies and what we call the fly-by-night agencies. And it's actually a very difficult task, because the reality is that it just doesn't work like that on the ground. There are certainly lots of cases where it's very clear that with non-status folks who are working for some of those fly-by-night agencies, there's obviously lots of threats, concerns about immigration status and labour exploitation, which labour brokers, labour agents kind of know and use and exploit. But at the same time, there are lots of examples of workers who are landed, who are racialised workers, who are working through agencies, as Leah Vosko's talked about, the notion of how agency work is supposed to be this kind of, is billed as being a way that new immigrants into Canada can get Canadian work experience and then move into the sort of the permanent field. Unfortunately, if we actually look at what's going on with a lot of temporary agency workers, it's a kind of becoming this kind of permatemps, as Erin Hatton talks about the notion of permatemps. That's also to do with the transformation of work in general, but people are going from one temp job to another temp job. One worker who was working in a distribution warehouse in Montreal, who was interviewed for a project that the Immigrant Worker Centre did, was working with a number of other permanent residents and citizens who were had come from a number of different countries in Africa. And they likened their work experience to slavery. One worker said, quote, "Certainly one could compare it to slavery, and I've been able to understand in my time here that just by an individual's skin colour, when I go to the placement agency, the temp agency, there's work for those that are black and there's work for those that are white," adding that he lost jobs to white Quebecois people despite advanced qualifications. And what had happened in the context of the Immigrant Workers Centre had been that round about 2008-2009, in the context of working with workers who are mainly landed, like permanent residents, immigrant workers who had been working in textile sector, garment sector, were coming in and finding out that actually their jobs were being replaced, some of their jobs that weren't being, the stuff that wasn't being offshored, their jobs were being replaced by people who were being hired through temporary agencies. And this became, this kind of had a snowball effect, more and more people started to come in. Now, since 2011, the Immigrant Workers Centre has helped support a sort of a self-organising initiative of temporary agency workers called the Temporary Agency Workers Association to essentially try to organise and support workers who are struggling for their you know, conditions, rights, etc. That meant a lot of outreach work where people are going out to leaflet in areas where day labourers are picked up, where people are going to cash their checks at or send remittances, and in the course of that kind of work, we've started to be able to do a little bit, and it's very, very early days, of mapping some of the terrain and trying to get some sense of where agency workers are, what are the conditions, what are the possibilities for kind of organising and struggles and so on. And this has been part of work, I guess, that is a kind of work that's quite difficult in the sense that by the very nature of agency workers, you can be working, you can have, you know, you can be working in one place this week, you can be working in another place this week, and there are lots of examples where workers who've actually questioned some of the conditions, who have asked about, you know, questions around health and safety, etc., in workplaces have been moved to more sort of inconvenient sites that seem to be related to the fact that they've actually spoken up. At the same time, there has been some kind of coalition building, if you like, going on in the last few years, which have involved a number of different organisations, including some of the trade unions in Quebec, another organisation called Au Bas de l'Echelle, which is a sort of an advocacy organisation around precarious situations, precarious work, trying to really also raise some demands about the regulation of agencies and about either co-responsibility between agencies and the companies that use them in relation to working conditions and employment, or getting the companies that use the agencies to be responsible for what happens if somebody has an accident, what happens in the cases of wage theft, because in Quebec, as with other jurisdictions, I would imagine that if you're a worker that wants to lay a complaint with the equivalent of the Commission de Normes de Travail, the Labour Relations Board, you need to be able to name who the employer is. So if you go to the Commission de Normes de Travail and the agency says, well, we're not the employer, and the company says, well, we're not the employer, then the officials are going to be like, well, you know, what are we going to do around this? And so this has been one of the kind of the struggles, I guess, around trying to push at that level, but also in terms of some of the organising work, some of the building leadership and supporting leadership of workers in terms of self-organising. And that very, very nature of being both sort of in these kind of precarious, either in precarious sometimes immigration situations, whether you're a refugee claimant or non-status, or whether you're a new permanent resident, or somebody who's been here for a long time. The problem is that at the bottom of the labour market in Montreal, at the end of the day, we're seeing a lot of the very, very same kinds of you know, exploitation taking place, regardless of status there. And I think that's something that's really important, and it comes back down to these questions around racialisation and precarity in the workforce. So just to sort of like move to some kind of wrap up or for a conclusion. As you probably know, because I know it's been reported in the rest of Canada too, there's going to be a provincial election on the 7th of April. So it's a little bit difficult to tell at a policy level what is going to sort of happen here, or if anything is going to happen here. But I do just want to speak to a couple of things that happened as a result of coalitions that and pressure that there were some noises at the end of last year that the Ministry of Employment and Social Solidarity announced some and somewhat vague details, but some steps to change the laws on agencies in last October. And immediately the Montreal Economic Institute, a business think tank, issued a research note in response opposing any tighter regulation of agencies and arguing that this would dissuade companies from hiring new workers, and repeating the claims that agencies promote the integration of immigrant workers into the workforce. And so it remains to be seen whether there will be any substantive changes in... We're not sort of holding our breath, I guess, but are also hopeful of the fact that there is some... There are more... I think there are more and more signs within some of the unions in Quebec of concerns and an understanding that the sort of the temporary labour, the temp agency kind of worker phenomenon is not just something that is kind of consigned to some kind of margin of the workforce over here, but actually that the sort of shift to perma-temps, to kind of hiring through temp agencies, and the growth of the industry threatens the future of work and workers' rights throughout the country, and whether or not we actually kind of see some more focus around and some more strategies around actually then how to really take on some of the levels of exploitation and the ways in which agencies from the kind of the big ones through to the fly-by-night agencies are operating. I think a lot of those questions are going to really come down to, the kind of struggles on the ground, really, in relation to trying to build working-class movements that, sure, unions are important, but looking at the kind of the possibilities of organisations like the Immigrant Workers Centre, like WAC, like Justicia for Migrant Workers, and also the Temporary Agency Workers Association, in terms of really trying to rethink through also, where is the working class? What does the working class look like? What are the questions and what are the possibilities for struggles in 2014? To really try to, to regroup and to organise and to sort of organise at a time when, things often seem quite difficult. But one of the things that I think we're always struck by is the fact that notwithstanding the precarity and notwithstanding the risks that workers live in a very real kind of way, that there are also people who are willing to organise, that are willing to take risks, and in many ways I see as being, some of the real kind of strong examples of a kind of a new kind of labour movement or a revived labour movement in Canada. And I don't think that's only the case in this country, but if we look around the world and we think about, the crisis of trade unions, the questions around sort of different models of union organising, that migrant and immigrant workers, I think, are in many cases, I think, thinking through and taking action in ways that maybe offer some hope for all of us. And I should just say, by the way, I'm a temporary foreign worker, and I've only got implied status at the moment too. I do know a little bit about having work permits that are tied to one employer, even if my employer is an esteemed academic institution. Thanks.